want to welcome you to this fifth and final session of the seminar, Transformed by the Word of God. We've learned a lot together. We've just looked at how to study the Bible and dig into it more deeply. And we want to conclude this fifth session by talking about how to apply God's Word, how to incorporate it in our lives. That means how to live it out, and also how to share it in our witness with others. And we're going to teach you another scripture song at the beginning here so that you can have another word in your heart. But before we do that, we want to pray again, give thanks for this time we have to share together, and ask for the Lord to send His Spirit to bless us. So let's kneel together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity we have had to share in this seminar together. I thank you for the insights that have blessed each of our lives as we have come with an open heart to your word. And I pray that the seed that has been planted in our hearts would continue to grow, that your word would have an ever more important place in our hearts and in our lives. As we share together in this fifth session about how to apply God's Word, how to live it out and to share it with others, we ask for your guidance and your blessing, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We haven't written this next text up on the board, but it's one that you're familiar with. If you do have a New King James Version of the Bible, it's written word for word in Matthew chapter 11. It's the text that we looked at. If you have another version, you may want to open to it. Most of the words will be the same. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And it's called, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I'll just sing it and you try to sing it with me.
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Repeat that. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart.
Let's try that again, shall we? Come to me.
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Repeat it.
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart.
And you will find rest for your souls.
And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Repeat.
And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart.
You know, it's so wonderful to sing the scripture. I find myself walking around doing yard work, riding a bicycle, waiting in line, and singing the precious word of God. And I just want to encourage you to do that. I've been encouraged as you've shared with me your desire to teach those songs to your children too. You know, children are amazing. They learn so quickly. And so let's take those golden opportunities to teach them God's Word while their minds are so open and receptive. Let's sing our theme song again. By now, I'm sure you've remembered it. And it means a little more to us now that we've done our study. We know what dwell is, and we've got a better idea about admonishing, don't we? So let's sing it with grace in our hearts to the Lord, shall we?
Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom.
Sounds wonderful.
Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your heart, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord.
On page 21 of our workbook, if you'd like to turn to that, if you're listening on the tape and you're following along, we're on page 21. We're talking now about how to apply God's Word, or how to incorporate it into the life, how to live it out in a way that will make a difference in our lives. Look at the quotation with me at the top of the page from Great Controversy. Puts it very simply. In fact, let's read it together. You have it there at the top of the page? It is the first and highest duty of every rational being to learn from the Scriptures what is truth, and then to walk in the light and encourage others to follow his example. So once we've learned the Word, once we come and we say, okay, I need to lay the foundation, accept Christ as my personal Savior, ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that in preparing our hearts in session one. And then we say, I want to learn how to listen to God. I begin reading the Scripture, listening not to try to be in control of the text, but to let the text speak to me and shape my life. Then hiding the Word in my heart, and then studying the Word. But really the object of it all is that the Word would be lived out in our lives. And then, of course, to encourage others to follow our example. As I mentioned to you earlier, N.A. Wojcik has done some tremendous work in the area of Scripture memorization. And the address is on page 12 of your workbook if you want to write to him and get some information that will be helpful to your family. But he has this to say about the need not only to hide God's Word in our hearts, but also to incorporate it in our lives. He says we memorize Scripture with a definite purpose in mind. It is not just for the sake of knowing a certain number of verses, but in order to be able to use them and apply them in real life. Memorizing Scripture must always be with the view of obedience and submission to God.
To help us apply God's Word in our daily living, write out a specific application. As you meditate on the memorized passage, God will bring insights to your mind. And it is important to write out these applications, and we talked about that in journaling. This process of writing out specific applications provides an opportunity to define them more clearly, and also a record so you can look back on what you've studied. And we've talked a lot about Colossians 3:16. We've memorized it. We've even meditated on it today. And maybe God, through this verse, has impressed you to evaluate the music you listen to. You are convinced or convicted that you can only listen to music that you can sing with grace in your heart. So then follow through this conviction by writing out a specific application.
You know, as Bodil's mentioning that, I think of a young boy that came to me, and he was listening to a group called Black Sabbath. Well, you don't need to be brilliant to figure out that that's probably not grace music. And he was listening to this music. In fact, he would even listen to this music while he was going to sleep at night. You can imagine what that was doing. Even at night, my heart instructs me. That's scary, isn't it? But he came up to me and he said to me, I'm a little confused. He said, my mom gets so excited about the music I listen to. But he said, she listens to this country western music that says, do you love as good as you look? He said, what's the difference? Well, he had a point, I guess, didn't he? It's not so much what the music is, but can I listen to it with grace in my heart? It's not what the style is, whether it's country music or whether it's contemporary music. Or can I sit down and listen, as Bodil said in an application here? Can I listen and say, wow, I could really, if Jesus was here, we'd sing this together. Or would I cover my face? Would I walk away in shame? Something to think about, isn't it? And when we talk about being a witness to our children, we read in the quotation about being an example to others. You know, those of you who are parents, and some of you may be grandparents, our children are watching us. And they're gonna watch the way we are. They say that for the first few years, maybe till about 12, they'll do what we say. And after that, they do what we do. And sometimes we see things and we go, where did they get that horrible habit from? And then someone close to us says, he's acting just like you. Solemn thought. We need to be able to live it out in our lives. And maybe music's an area that God would point out to us.
There's an example in here, in quotes, an example of what you might write out for an application. I will ask the following question of each song or piece of music I listen to. Does this music uplift the word of Christ? Can I sing or listen to this music with grace in my heart? If I cannot answer yes to these questions, I will turn off the music or walk away. Just maybe 6 months ago, I was in a Christian bookstore, and I got really excited because I saw this tape that said scripture songs on it, and I looked and I saw the text on there, and wow, this is great. Maybe we'll be able to learn some more scripture. So I purchased it and brought it home, put it on, and I was shocked, to say the least. I feel like the music was the music of this world, and that the Word of God, even though the words were scripture, they were buried under all the noise and display of the music. And so I would have to say of that cassette that I would not be able to listen to that with grace in my heart, even though it is the word of, it was the Word of God.
There's a big discussion going on about Christian rock. They even have Christian heavy metal, you know. I just say we should pray about that one. I don't want to be critical of anyone, but I think when we really think about it, we know that there are some things we can listen to with grace in our hearts and some things we can't. And there are times that there is music, and we're talking about music from this text, that is so much the music of this world that the words of God don't even seem to belong with it. So that may apply. A specific application. We're going to give you a text now to work with. It may not be music, it may be television. Some of you say, why? You've been talking a lot about television. I'm expecting that you'll come and check all of our homes in 3 months to see which of us have television. There's nothing wrong with the television. The television is a neutral piece of electronic equipment that can convey information. Some people listen to George Vandeman or Mark Finley, and they say, this is great, it's my connection with the Word of God. It's what we do with it. It's what we do with it. But the question might be asked of that. Okay. Maybe I've had some struggles with what I've watched on the television. I remember a brother in the faith who came to me. And he said, he had cable TV. He said, I can watch any of those things they have. And he made it pretty explicit about what he watched. He said, it doesn't affect me. Fool. Fool. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And by beholding, we become changed. And I got a phone call not long after that, that this brother of mine had taken a moral fall. He'd acted the fool. No wonder he'd acted the fool, because he'd been watching foolish things. I'm thankful that the Lord restored him to the faith. And he repented. And he came back to God. But the Lord may impress you. It's not the object itself, whether it's a radio or a CD player or a television. But if I'm sitting there with a television program and I say to myself, can I watch this with grace in my heart? Could I watch this if Jesus were here with me? And if the answer is yes, it's wholesome, it's uplifting, well then invite a friend to watch it with you. But if the answer is no, then it's only going to pull you away from the kingdom of God. It's going to deaden your heart and desensitize your mind, isn't it? So the specific application is so important. As I was sharing with my students in the past few weeks, this is where it really hits the road. You've done all of this study, and now you say, what specifically does this mean for me? How am I going to live differently today? And I'm going to write out a specific application. I want you to write a text down here, maybe on the blank page opposite page 21 here, on the white side of the page. I'd like you to write this text down, and we're going to give you a few minutes with it. Romans 12 and verse 21. It's one of my favorite short texts. It's a bullet. It's just short, but it's powerful. Romans 12, 21. I would like you just quietly where you are to read that text, and I would like you to write out a specific application. In the light of what this text is saying, I will do this in the coming day. Or I will do this in the coming week. Okay? Now I'm not going to ask you all to share that. Some of you may be willing to. We're going to have those share that would want to. So it may be something very specific that is just between you and God. But I'd like you to read Romans 12, 21. And we're going to give you 3 minutes. I want you to write out, in the light of what this text is saying to me, this is what I will do. This is a specific application. I will do this in the coming week. All right? Let's take 3 minutes to read and write that out for a moment. Romans 12, 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me share with you a specific application that I wrote down. In the past few weeks, there have been a couple of people that have been kind of critical of me. And so we don't like that when people are critical, especially when we might feel like they're being mean. I thought about that. Do not be overcome by evil. If I were to be overcome by evil, how would I act? Evil. In that particular situation, how would I act? People are being critical. What would I do? You'd be critical back, right? You're overcome by evil. You start fighting with the weapons of the world. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It was a simple, specific application that I just wrote out. I will not speak critically of other people, but will seek to encourage them in the Lord. Now that's practical, isn't it? I find myself in a situation where someone says, hey, did you know about so-and-so, blah, 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 blah. You say, wait a minute here. Remember my strategy here for this text. I will not speak critically about others, but will seek to encourage them in the faith. And I can say, well, brother, let's pray for him. Well, I don't want to pray for him. I just want to talk about him. Well, I don't want to talk about him, but I would pray for him. Do you see the difference? If we would spend less time talking about people and more time talking to the Lord for them, maybe they'd be helped. I mean, maybe what the person did was wrong, but they still need our prayers, right? Do not be overcome by evil. There's a specific strategy a student shared with me. He said, I have a problem with being sarcastic. And it's especially bad when someone is sarcastic to me. So if someone came up and said, you're looking happy today, it would just be just like that, so easy for him to just snap back with something doubly strong, you know. That was just, so he said, I wrote down that whenever I feel the desire, do not be overcome by evil, was the text, whenever I feel the desire to be sarcastic, I'm gonna pay a compliment to somebody. You say, that's not your nature. It's like, well, no, but if any person is in Christ, he can be what? A new creation. That's a workable strategy to live out the implication of that text for his life. All right, did some of you write something down? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. A specific strategy, just something you're going to do in the coming week. Who'd like to share with us one? All right, we've got a hand right here. Jack, a specific strategy. Let's...
I wrote, Dear Lord, help me have words of value to say at all times. Thank you for helping me to understand the things I've been reading.
Okay. Help me to have words of value. Okay. All right. Someone else. Is there a hand in the back? Don, did you have your hand raised? Okay. Let's try to make it real specific, something that we're going to do.
Help me to conquer the negativity in my life to keep me from love that is keeping me from loving you more so that I may be a servant for others.
Help me to conquer
negativity.
Inactivity.
No, negativity.
Oh, negativity.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you specifically said, here's an issue, negativity, okay? Let's work on that. Let's make a specific strategy. Help me to conquer negativity. How are we going to do that? Let's make it specific now. How are we going to conquer negativity? Let's be specific. Let's make it a specific strategy. When I start feeling like I'm going to be negative, what could I do? Think of something positive that I might say. For example, pastors always think about this, you know. You come and the person says, that was the worst sermon I ever heard. It was boring, you know? And you're like, oh no, I don't know if I want to say that. He probably knows that already, you know? What could I say? I guess I could say, I really appreciated the scripture reading today, you know? Is that positive? That's positive, that's encouraging. He probably already knows, or if I'm preaching, I probably already know if I didn't hit the mark. But I could say something positive when I feel like saying, that was really boring. I could go up and say, I really appreciated that scripture. I'm going to give that some real study this week. And that would be encouraging, wouldn't it? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All right, someone else. Did you write a specific application out? Okay, Rick?
I wrote one down. As a literature evangelist, I said, I will be friendly and kind to all my prospects, even if they are not friendly to me.
Whoa! I will be friendly and kind. All right? I'll tell you one I have to write, and maybe some of you wrestle with this one. I pray with that. I will be as friendly and polite to my family as I am to people that I don't know. You know how it is? You, hi, fine, thank you, wonderful day, and you get home and you're like a bear that just stood on a bramble bush or something, you know. I'll be as kind and friendly to my family as I am to people I don't know. That would be a specific application, wouldn't it? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All right, one more. Someone else. A specific application. Yes, Joanne.
Lord, next time my mother-in-law irritates me, I will be kind to her.
Oh, that's very specific. And that went on tape for the world to hear. And there are other people that could relate to that. And if it's not the same relative, it may be someone else, a neighbor or someone at work. That's very specific. The more specific it becomes, the more likely it is to actually happen. The next time my relative, neighbor, whatever, is what was the word you used there? Critical? No. What was the word? Irritates me. We got another discussion going on. I will say something kind. I will be kind. Now, to make it even more effective or easier to implement, what would we need to do to that strategy? Yeah, define what we mean by kind, okay? So the next time my mother-in-law, relative, whatever, irritates me, I will... All right, speak kindly. I will... I will smile and say... I will smile and compliment her, okay? That's very specific. Now, if I even have in mind what I'm going to say, that might make it even easier because I'm like, I don't know if I can do this, you know, she just irritated me. So I've got it in mind that I can just smile at her and say, you know, I really appreciate you stopping over and showing interest in our family. You know, you're still kind of walking around like this, but somehow you've got this strategy in mind. Or I'm really thankful that you show a real interest in our family. You might not like the interest that she's showing right now, but you're thankful for the interest. And so you kind of have, you see, you've got something specific, rather than just, how am I going to be kind right now? You know, I'm fibrillating. To smile, that's specific, and to say a compliment of some kind. Now, does that sound does that sound fakey to you? I mean, you're like, oh, come on. You're serious about this? Let me tell you something. I am convicted, listen carefully, that Joseph had in mind the strategy that he should flee from evil. I have a confidence that Joseph had determined in his heart that he would not sin against God. And he had developed that strategy. We find it in the New Testament. In Paul's letter to Timothy, he says, flee immorality. He doesn't say, don't be immoral, which is true, but he says, what's the strategy? When you're tempted, get out of there. Now, you might just sit there and say, well, probably Joseph was just kind of wimpy. You know? He probably just wasn't even interested. Not so. There was a temptation there. Satan was trying to bring Joseph down, right? But Joseph had a strategy in mind. He had it right there. He'd studied the scriptures, and the strategy was when the temptation to sin, specifically here, immorality, when that temptation comes, what's my strategy? Get out of there. Even if you have to leave your coat behind, you get out of there. The more specific it is, the more likely it is to be implemented. Okay, there was another couple of hands here. Betty?
I was going to add the point about you can be sincere about a compliment because people have not so good traits and they have good traits.
That's right. So we're looking for the positive thing. All right? And then, let's see, is it Larry?
When I'm asked, How's my day going? And I feel lousy. You know, we're taught in America to say fine. Well, I don't feel fine. My answer, I got to thinking about this, I'm lying every time I say I'm fine.
Right.
And so my answer has changed to, well, I'm here. That's
right.
Truth.
That's true.
There's a text in Lamentations 3, and this one's good for me. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. You can answer with that, maybe.
Because His compassions fail not.
Mm-hmm.
They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. And that's on the second tape, Come to the Waters, one of the scripture songs.
The next time my neighbor plays loudly rock music, I don't know what I'm going to do. I want you to help me.
All right. Let's help our sister. That's a very practical one. The next time my neighbor... Are you finishing the quotation or is this a new one?
Telling her what happened.
Okay, let me say it out loud so it's on the tape for others, because it's a very real one. Sister says there's a neighbor next door that plays rock music for the neighborhood. The next time, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The next time my neighbor plays loud rock music that rattles my windows or whatever, I will. Help us out. Come on, this is a practical application, isn't it? Yes.
Well, my neighbor did that until it got so bad we couldn't sleep. So I baked a loaf of homemade bread and I took it down to her. And she was so pleased and I said, but this is a bribe. And she said, what do you want? And I said, I'd like you to turn the music down. And I never heard loud music after that.
You know what's funny about that, as Leona was saying that, right before you said it, when our sister asked it, my first thought was bake him a loaf of bread. Find out what he likes. If it's a person, if he likes cake, bake him a cake. Came down, here's a cake. What did you bake a cake for me for? Because I want to be your friend. And I'll be your friend if you take the cake and turn your music down, you know? It's hard when you pay a person a compliment. By the way, I do agree with what Larry said. We shouldn't lie to people. We shouldn't. But you know, everyone, as Betty said, everyone has positive traits. We don't have to say something that isn't true, but we can say something that is true and somehow shift the focus. But that may be one to do something that they would appreciate. Just say, I just want to, to show some friendship to you, and that may be a way to overcome it. I guess. Can you think of anything else? Anyone else? Plant trees? Or what else could our sister do for the loud rock music besides bake a loaf of bread? Okay, work at becoming a friend where you might be able to then talk about that issue. And pray for them. Actually, you know, is it possible, I shouldn't say this because it's loaded, I know it's possible for me, you can get so mad at someone that you don't even pray for them? Is it possible to get so mad you don't pray for them? You might pray to God to do something to them. Okay. The next time my neighbor plays loud rock music, I will go to a quiet place and kneel down and pray for him. And ask the Lord to send his love and his mercy to him. Would that be a workable strategy? That certainly would be shifting the attention. And that's not an easy one. We're not trying to be simplistic and say, well, no problem. It may drive you up the wall. But if you have a strategy, instead of focusing on the evil, say, well, I'm going to turn Beethoven up to 40 watts per channel or something, you know. How can I use this to overcome the evil with good? Loaf of bread, go to a quiet place to pray, even for that person. All right. Yes, a comment over here.
Back before when we're responding with a positive, when we're actually irritated, I think we need to go further and somehow ask the Lord to take and go down to our feelings, because it's very easy to become hypocrites and going around saying
right.
things because now we're supposed to say them. And that can be very, very
negative.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be honest. And I think there is a time that to use the illustration of my sermon, if someone were to ask, talk about that, and I were to say to them, well, what do you think of my sermon? That it would be okay to say it wasn't too hot today. You know, if you've got a trust relationship there, that we don't always have to say, it was fine. I like your hair, you know, or something like that. I think we can be honest. But there are times when we're so bogged down, we get negative and critical, and it's easy to be overcome by evil and go out and start talking, you know, get at the dinner table and talking and negative, negative, negative. And we can shift that and overcome evil with good as a strategy. All right. Was there one other hand that was sharing? We talk about writing a specific strategy. Pastor?
Still back with the idea of somebody's behavior that's bothering us.
Okay.
Whether
okay.
It be
back to this.
Rock music or criticism or whatever it is.
Right.
It's important for me that my prayer for that person be open-ended prayer for that person, not prayer that the Lord will take up my cause and change that person to fit what I want. Even if I know what they're doing is really wrong, there's enough combativeness in me that my prayer can't be clean
right. If
I'm praying for them to straighten up.
Sounds like when the disciples said, Lord, shall we call down fire from heaven and burn them up? And Jesus says, you don't understand what you're saying. Good point. All right, that's the first helpful way to incorporate it into our lives. The more specific the application is, the more likely it is to be implemented. The next time my mother-in-law irritates me, I will smile at her and tell her that she's a great cook. If she is a great cook, let's be honest about it. I will say something positive to her. I will look at something in the conversation that I appreciated while she was there. Second, helpful aid in working out the Word of God, applying it in my life, is to have other Christian friends who can be a blessing to us. You see, when we're actually allowing the Word of God to work in our lives, it's going to be manifested in a tangible way. Let's look at a few Bible texts that talk about this. But I want to share with you that you are not the best person to notice that that is happening in your life. But let's look at John 15, 7 and 8. Someone will look up that. Someone else, John 15 and verse 16. And someone else look up Matthew 7, 18 to 20. John 15, 7 and 8. John 15, verse 16. And Matthew 7, verses 18 to 20. All right, let's look at those texts which talk about a life of fruitfulness as a Christian, as we apply the Word of God to our lives.
John 15, 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples.
My Father is glorified that you have a fruitful life. You bear much fruit. You know, there's a beautiful thing. The imagery there in John 15 is what? What's it talking about in John 15? The vine and the branches. And the branches grafted into the vine. Now, I'm not an expert on gardening, but the grafting, it fascinates me. I used to have an apple tree in Pennsylvania, and it had five different types of apples on it. Red Delicious, Yellow Delicious, Jonathan, my son Jonathan liked that, Macintosh, and Rome, I think. Five different apples. No, Granny Smith, I think, was one of them. The amazing thing is you get this apple trunk, and you put a branch on it. And why does the branch live? Because the life of the tree flows into the branch. But even though it's the life of the tree, and in this, the life of Jesus flowing through us, what fruit do we bear? That's right, it's our own unique fruit. Some of us are Granny Smiths, and some of us are Red Delicious, and some of us are Macintosh, and that's why we shouldn't compare with other people, right? But God is giving us the gift to be fruitful. This lady who whistles, that's a gift that God has given to her. The gift that God has given to my wife, Bodil, to write scripture songs, that's a gift too. Be fruitful, be joined to Christ, and let the life of Christ flow through you, and you're going to be fruitful. But you may not notice it. Let's look at the next text, John 15 and verse 16. Who has that one? We'll read it for us. Okay? Someone over here? Young lady right here? Fourth row back? Yes. John 15 and verse 16.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed to you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name.
I want you to be fruitful and to bear fruit that will last. The Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. And one more text, Matthew 7, 18 to 20. Someone read that for us, Matthew 7. Andy, up here in the front row, verses 18 to 20.
A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
So the identifying characteristic of those who are allowing the Word of God to transform their lives is that they're going to have a fruitful life. But you are not the best person to judge that. In fact, I think it would be rather unhealthy for you to be walking around saying, do I have any fruit today? Am I fruitful today? Do I look fruitful today? And I spend more time looking for fruit than I do looking at Jesus and listening to His Word. But you know, it is helpful to be able to take check, evaluation, and say, what's happening in my life? And there's one thing that I have found to be very helpful. It's a very biblical principle, and that is to have a Christian friend. Galatians 6 says, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. We find even in the New Testament, Jesus with the disciples, Paul and Timothy, they were together. They encouraged one another in the faith. And I would like to suggest to you, maybe you say, well, I've got a Christian spouse, but you know, sometimes your spouse is too close to you. They're too close. It might be better for you to have a Christian sister that you can get together and pray together, to have a Christian brother that you can get together with and you can talk together. And your brother could say to you, Rick, how's it going in your walk with God? How's the life going? And you say, well, the Lord's blessing and work's going well. Well, that's good. How's it going with your family? I don't want to talk about my family, you know. Well, maybe we should talk about it and pray about it. I only say that because I know that's not an issue for Rick. But do you understand what I'm saying? Or a person might say, oh, I don't know, got together with a friend. Maybe you get together once a week, once a month, call each other on the phone, pray together. I don't feel like really anything's accomplished in my life. I'm really pretty discouraged. Well, you remember last week when you taught the Sabbath school lesson? That was really powerful, you know. In fact, a brother came up to me after class and said, wow, I've never really understood the gospel of Jesus as clearly as I did from that lesson. And the person says, really? You mean somebody was listening? Yeah. In fact, he said it really changed his life. And he said, I thank God that John's our Sabbath school teacher. And you go, wow, praise God. The value of having a Christian friend that you can meet with, and like Ed and I meet, and instead of just saying to him, well, who do you think is going to win the ball game this weekend? No, not that kind of relationship. But we would meet together as Christian brothers, and Ed would say to me, Derek, how's your walk with the Lord? How's it going in your walk with the Lord? What's happening in your life, in your service for God? Talk about it, pray together, encourage one another. I have found that to have a friend like that is a tremendous asset. And I want to suggest to you in this closing section, top of page 21, some principles that would help you to find such a friend that could be an encouragement to you and could help you see the way in which your fruitfulness is being manifested by the power of God. Top of page 22. Ask God to lead you to someone who can help you to be attentive to God's leading in your life. Now, just a principle, you may want to write it down here, but I would suggest to you that it would be helpful for you to find someone in whom you see God working. You know, don't go to a person that's running away from God and say, will you help me to be attentive? No. Go to someone and you say, I really see God working in this person's life. And I was wondering if we could get together maybe once a month for breakfast or for lunch, or we could meet and pray together and we could just talk about spiritual life and pray together and encourage one another. Don't find someone that's walking away from God, but someone in whom you see the power of God at work. Second principle under this point A of finding someone, it would be helpful for you to find someone who's of the same gender as yourself. Now, there are a few exceptions to that. I think, Dottie, you mentioned Grandma Battle. And Grandma Battle now is in her 90s. Godly woman. 94. 4, August 16, 1994, okay? So that's, she's certainly a great woman of God. And you say, well, what if I lived next door to her? Would she be a good person to get together with and talk about the Lord and pray and share what's happening in my life? I don't think there'd be a problem there with the 50 years difference between us. But generally, it's helpful to have someone of the same gender, have a sister and a sister meet together, pray together, brother and a brother meet together, someone who loves the Lord and who's seeking the Lord. Subpoint B, meet regularly, at least once a month, with the specific intention of examining the progress of one's spiritual journey. Now, we're not talking here about comparing one another, but to be able to get together and talk about what's happening in your life. I remember a young man, a friend of mine, and he took a fall. He lost his wife and his family, his life work. And I talked to him as he wept on the phone. And he said to me, I didn't have anybody to talk to. Haven't prayed for months. I felt so alone. That's a tragedy, isn't it? Brother going through a difficult time, having a challenge. What a blessing it would be to have a Christian brother. They meet together, not just in a crisis situation. Meet together regularly. Pray together. Share maybe some scriptures you've been studying, memorizing. Talk about how it's going in your life. Encourage one another. Teaching and admonishing one another. Find a friend. Meet together on a regular basis. And then see. Keep the relationship centered on prayer and scripture. Now, I think there's places to go out and play ball together, or go do something, go shopping together, whatever you'd like to do. But have those set times when you'll meet. Encourage one another and ask how it's going in the Lord. So those will help us as we're living out our experience with the Lord and applying it to our lives. And then finally, section B, my wife is going to share with us here, including the Word of God as part of our witness. How do we do that? When is it appropriate to share Scripture with other people? Let's take a look together.
Well, I found an exciting way to share Scripture. Numbers 6, verse 24 to 26. I memorized this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And I found that people who are sick in the hospital, I've been working on some graduate work in the area of nursing and with cancer patients. And I was asking them how they would feel about a nurse praying with them. And I found that many people are open to prayer, whether they are spiritually inclined or not. And I found this text to be really helpful. At the end of our time, when I would talk to the patients, they would be so open, and I'd say, well, would you like me to pray with you now? And I didn't have anybody refuse me. And I used this text with their name. Dear Lord, bless Mrs. Smith and keep her, and make your face shine upon her and be gracious to her. And dear Lord, lift up your countenance upon her and fill her life with your peace. And then it was not just a prayer. And whether they knew it or not, it was the Word of God to their heart. And I had so many people just crying or wanting to, telling me they'd never seen me before, that they loved me, or just making compliments. But it wasn't me. It was the Word of God that was touching their hearts. And I found that to be really exciting.
So in answer to the question, when is it appropriate to share Scripture, the answer is, it is always appropriate to share Scripture, but we must know which Scripture is appropriate. Are there times when it is inappropriate to share certain scriptures? Yes, absolutely. There are people who think they should go around and always share this scripture with people, you know, and set them straight and expose error. It is always appropriate to share scripture. What we need to be in prayer about is what is the appropriate scripture to share. So when we memorize scripture, and I'd like you to just note this key point, we are not memorizing scripture in order to share it with other people. We are memorizing it because we are obedient to what God is asking us to do. But God will bring the appropriate scripture to our mind at the time that we need it. Let's just look for a moment in the Pentecost sermon. Would you open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2? Especially if you have a chain reference in your Bible, that would be helpful. Acts chapter 2. Great sermon Peter preached. This was witnessing. Now, he was not trained as a preacher. He'd certainly been with Jesus and learned of him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice that as part of his witnessing, he included some Bible texts. And I want to tell you that the more that you memorize Scripture, the more you hide it in your heart, the more it will become a part of your witness to other people. As Bodell said, God brings Scripture like that prayer, the Lord bless you and keep you. And something happens. Who came up to me during the break and said, there's something about Scripture. It's like the power of God is in His Word. There's something about the Scripture. I want to fill my life with it, and God will bring the appropriate Scripture at the right time to share with someone. Well, we're in Acts chapter 2. We've got there the sermon at Pentecost. Would you just kind of look through that sermon in Acts chapter 2? And let's see if we can find any references to the Old Testament. Of course, that was the only Bible that they had at that time. And if you find one, just raise your hand. Let's see if Peter in his sermon quoted any of the scriptures. Someone found one already? No, we can just call it out. Someone found one, an Old Testament scripture? Jimmy in the back, where have you found? All right, Joel chapter 2. That's an important text in his sermon. All right, anyone else found one that he quotes in his sermon? This is part of his witness. All right, Psalm 16. Actually, there may be several verses there, including verse 10. It's a little more than that, isn't it? A part of that psalm. That's a beautiful psalm, all right? Any other scripture references? Psalm 110, verse 1, all right? What is this telling us? It's telling us that naturally... By the way, why did Peter share the text that he shared? I mean, what's the answer? Why did he share the text that he shared? Because he was inspired. And the Holy Spirit brought to his mind the texts that were appropriate for that moment. Now, we're not going to say that we're prophets and that we're inspired too, but what is inspired? The Word of God is inspired. And if I will hide the inspired Word in my heart, the Lord can bring it to my mind at the right time to share with someone else. A young man came to me. He works at the Village Market. Some of you that know College Dell know the Village Market. And he came up to me and he was all excited. He said, I got to share with you something that happened. He's been memorizing scripture. He's memorized the 70 passages of the Bible this past semester. 70 passages of the Bible. All excited. Came to me. And he said, I was working away there at the Village Market. And a lady came in and she was really critical. And she was complaining that everything was bad and really, really negative. And he said, I didn't know what to say. And he said, all of a sudden, my mouth opened, and I started sharing Scripture. He'd memorized 100 Bible verses, 70 passages of the Bible. And he said, let me share with you some Bible texts that I've learned that have been such a blessing and an encouragement to me. And he shared this Bible text, and he said, and I want to share this one with you too. It's really encouraged me, and it's helped me. And he shared that Bible text, and then he said, then I shared it, and I was just amazed. It was like the Bible texts were coming out of me. Now, he wasn't speaking in a tongue that he knew not of. He had hidden the Word in his heart, hadn't he? And at the right time, listen, it is always appropriate to share Scripture. The question is, what is the appropriate Scripture? And if we'll fill our minds with the Word of God, God will bring to our minds the appropriate scripture. The appropriate scripture for someone dying of cancer is not, let's say they've had a problem, they were smoking, they got lung cancer, is not, what a man soweth he will surely reap. He that has ears, let him hear. Amen. That's not very encouraging to a person, is it? They probably already know that. But Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Is that an encouraging text? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. No wonder the tears flow. It's the Word of God. The more we fill our lives with the Scripture, the more God will speak through us. Look with me in the middle of the page in this closing quotation. First one's for preachers. If you have a call to preach, you can read that one. I want to read the next one. Quotation 60 in our workbook. The Lord will strengthen the memory of the one who is speaking in His name. Now that's not just the preacher. That's moms and dads and people in the workplace. The Lord will strengthen the memory of the one who's speaking in His name. He will bring to the mind the words necessary for the occasion. That portion of His word which will be meet in due season for His people. It's always appropriate to share Scripture, but the Holy Spirit will show us which Scripture is appropriate. He will bring to our minds that Scripture, that portion of His Word, which will be meet in due season for His people. May the precious promise of Psalm 126... By the way, if you want to start by memorizing a whole passage of Scripture, you can start with the Psalms. There's some short ones, and they're encouraging. Psalm 117 is two verses. It's your first one you could memorize, but it's a beautiful one. Psalm 126, verse 6. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing. You know what the seed is, don't you? The Word of God. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Can I paraphrase it? The one who continually goes forth weeping with a burden for souls, that's the burden of Christ. Bearing seed, the precious words of God for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his or her sheaves, trophies of victory, people who have been won to Christ through the power of His Word with Him. In closing, let's sing our theme song again. I pray that it will become a precious text that whenever you get to Colossians 3:16, you'll say, yes, I want to hide God's Word in my heart. And then I want us to pray, kneel for a prayer of consecration and to pray God's blessing upon you as we close our session. Here we go. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Let's kneel together as we pray. Holy Father, you have blessed us with this time to be together. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we have gathered in your name to worship you and to listen to your word. We know your heart's desire. You have clearly shared with us that you desire to transform us by your word. That if we are in Christ, we can be a new creation. Behold, the old is passed away and all things have become new. And we want to say to you as we kneel here in prayer of consecration that we desire to be transformed by your word. We want to give you permission. And Father, that sounds strange, but we know it's true that you will not invade our lives. You will not force your way in, even with good things. But behold, you say, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. And our Father, we want to open that door and give you permission by the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. And we know that you come in bringing your word, that it might be a living word within us, a transforming word, not only for our own lives, but that we might take that precious seed and go forth to share it with others. And your Holy Spirit can bring just the right word at the right time that can turn hearts to God and bring comfort and hope and encouragement. We thank you for that. I thank you for each family represented here, each precious boy and precious girl. I pray that you would bless each life. Help us to realize that it is never too late to let you work miraculously in our lives. Help us to let that happen today and every day. And may we look back and praise you for the things that you have done. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
You have been listening to Dr. Derek Morris in association with American Cassette Ministries, a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 1994, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. Christian ethics prohibit reproduction in any form. For additional Spirit-filled messages by Dr. Morris or other American Cassette Ministry speakers, please write to us at American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, ZIP 17108 in the United States of America. To place your order, call us toll-free 1-800-233-4450. Thank you for ordering American Cassette Ministry cassettes. We appreciate your continued prayers and financial support, and together we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ.